And I invite you to open up your Bibles to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And so what are some of the goals that you have for 2018? I know you've thought of some. Remember, whenever you make goals for your life, make SMART goals. You've probably heard that before. The S-M-A-R-T. Be specific, measurable, have attainable goals. I like what one person said. Their goal is to lose 15 pounds by next week. They only have 20 left to go. That's attainable. Be results-oriented and time-bound. Now, Ellie, on her wall this year, she has a chart. And on the chart of her wall, she has goals that she wants or things to get done. She has a chart for exercise, a chart for reading the Bible, a chart for music at 14 years old. And she's excited about 2018. Let me just say this. And I listened to something this week, and it made me think about some of the goals that I set in my own life. Some of us have this fixed mindset when it comes to goals, and we just say, okay, these are my finances, this is the facility, this is all that I have, this is my goals, and this is my fixed mindset goals. What we need to have is a faith mindset where we're really trusting in God to do what only God can do in 2018. That's why I love these questions, because one of the questions that he asks is what is one impossible thing you're asking God to do in 2018? Do you have that? What is one impossible thing you're asking God to do in 2018? Think about that for a moment. And as we prepare our lives and think about what we're going to do in 2018, I love this psalm. This is a wonderful psalm to study. A wonderful psalm, because he gives us things that should be our goals for believers. Now, let's look at this for a moment, and let's consider the backdrop of the Psalm 63 for a moment. Notice, if you see there, it says it's the Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, there's only two times that this could have taken place. The first is when Saul was after David and trying to kill his life. But that's not this time. Because in this time, David's already a king. If you notice verse 11, it says, but the king will rejoice in God. So he's a king. So this is not when Saul was after David. This was when Absalom was after David, his own son. Can you imagine that? And his own son wants to kill him. And his own son wants to take over his reign. In fact, Absalom, for 4 years up to this point, for 4 years was gathering his crew to take over for King David. And he had a plan, and he was about to attack David and caught David off guard. Interesting that he could have killed David at that time, but yet he listened to some counsel, and the counsel said, wait, don't do it yet. Oh, he should have done it. Because David got to regroup. And when David regrouped and got his posse behind him, 20,000 people died in the war. And one of them was Absalom, his own son. Wow. Consider the backdrop of this psalm for a moment. And consider that David is in the wilderness, not knowing at this time what's going to happen, if his son's going to come and try to kill him. He's worried, he's weary, and he's in the wilderness. And I like what one person brings out about this. Every believer, because we live in a sinful world, lives in some sort of wilderness experience. Either it's financial or physical or spiritual. There's some kind of pressure on every one of us here today. We didn't say it in the praises as much, but it's there. Some are struggling with physical pain, whether it be chronic pain or something else. Somebody's struggling with financial pain. There's financial things going on. There's spiritual battles going on in our lives. What should we do in the midst of all these? Well, David's going to tell us, and this is a wonderful psalm. In verses 1 to 2, we're going to see how we ought to pursue God with our whole heart and soul. In verses 3 to 5, we're going to see how we ought to praise God. In verses 6 and 7, we're going to see how we ought to ponder God. It's amazing how this all alliterates itself. And then in verses 9 to 11, if we get there today, is we're going to see how we need to persevere with God, no matter what happens to us in 2018. Look at this in verses 1 to 2. We ought to pursue God. Notice how he starts it off in this psalm. He says, O God, you are my God. Elohim, Elohim, but you are my God. He has a personal relationship with God. He's not just the God of the universe. He's his God. And he says, O God, my God, you are my God. I have a relationship with you. I shall seek you when? It says earnestly, but the Hebrew word means early. How many of you like to get up early? All right. Now, when we got back from Argentina, we went to go live with my in-laws, and my father-in-law loves to get up at 3 or 4 in the morning, and he loves to walk on the treadmill. Well, I didn't know what it was. I was scared to death. One morning, I just hear, bum, 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 bum. And everyone in the house hears him. You can't get away from it. 3 or 4 in the morning, every morning, bum, 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 bum. And then right after he's done, he has this big bowl of cereal, you know, to celebrate, you know what I mean? He loves it. He loves to get up early. How many of you just get up early and you pant to spend time with God? Oh. He says here, O Lord, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. The first thing early, very early in the morning, the first thing when you wake up, the break of dawn, the first thing he wants is God. He's longing for God. Look how he longs for God. As his soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you, my whole being wants you. The poetry here in the Psalms, as in a dry and weary land. It looks like he was walking through Texas or Arizona. In a dry and weary land where there's no water. I am dying for you, God. Now, do we have that longing for God? Probably not. First thing in the morning, we need our coffee. Amen. First thing in the morning, we need the news. First thing in the morning, I need to see how many likes I have on Facebook. Why not the first thing in the morning, God? There's a longing here. There's a passion for God. There's a longing for him. There's a focus on God. I want you first in. And not only that, notice this in verse 2. This kills me. He says, I want you, Lord. I seek you. And here's what I want. Not only private worship with you, I want corporate worship with you. Verse 2. Thus, I have seen you in the sanctuary, he says here. I have seen you in a sanctuary to see your power and your glory. In other words, what he wants is not only to be with God privately, he wants to be with God publicly. Wow. I know you guys woke up this morning and you said, man, I am dying to get to church today. Amen. I am so excited. I am just longing like I got a thirst. I just got to be with God's people. I remember Jerry, she was sidelined for a few weeks, and she finally got back to church, and she said how great it was to be back at church. She said, I don't understand why people don't want to come to church. And I'll tell you why people don't want to come to church. It's because we have the spirit of independence. And we think we can without God. And let me just tell you something, kindly and sweetly. We can't without God. We can't in our private time without him. We can't in our public time. We need him. Amen. Every time. And you see, David, what's amazing about this is he's thinking about the sanctuary where he would go and worship and sing and offer sacrifices to God. And he says, you know what? In that time, notice what he would see about God. He would see God's power and he would see God's kabod, his glory, where God manifests himself in the midst of his people like he wouldn't anywhere else. He's saying, my soul longs for you. I am dying to be in the place with God's people, private and public worship, pursuing God. There's a goal. So I say, what should we do for 2018? Why don't we make it a goal that we pursue God like never before? That we get up in the morning, instead of just going through the routines, that we make time to have good time with God. And we're going to see, not just in the morning, we're going to need it at night as well. So I got a new Bible. I'm all excited about my new Bible now. I got where it gives me a portion of the Old Testament, a Psalm, a Proverb, the New Testament, and just keeps me fresh with God. And here's what he's saying here. I'm longing for you. I have this thirst for you. My flesh, my soul, my whole being wants to be not only with you privately, I want to be with you publicly. Make it a goal. To walk with God. Make it a goal to say, I can't today, God. I can't start my day without you. Make it a goal to say, you know what, in 2018, I'm going to do everything I can to be with God's people when the doors are open. Only open once a week here. I'm going to do all I can to be with God's people. I'm going to make it a goal to pursue God. But don't stop there. Notice what else he does. I love this. He makes it a goal to praise God. He says here in verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall what? So I will, I'm in a dry and thirsty land here. Excuse me for a second. All right, now I'm ready. Verse 4, I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Now watch this. He's going to tell us why to praise God. He's going to tell us how to praise God. He's going to tell us how often to praise God. And he's going to tell us the results of what it means to praise God. Look at this. Right in these three verses. This is beautiful. Why should we praise God? Here it is. Verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than what? Life. Your chesed. Your commitment is the word there. Your loving commitment to us, to a God that never ever gives up on us. That's why I love that praise. It goes right with the sermon. God never gives up on us. And if you notice this, this is a time in David's life when David committed adultery, when David murdered, and yet God still didn't give up on him. You ever study Israel? And all that they went through, starting with Abraham and then Joseph, and then you go on and you see him in the desert and in Egypt and all the places, God never gave up on them. One thing we can be sure of in 2018, God will never give up on us. Amen. And you see, his loving kindness is even better than life itself. And I'll tell you what a lot of people are going to do in 2018. I mean, you watch it, you'll see the commercial, Oprah Winfrey's there. And what does Oprah Winfrey say? 2018 is going to be the best year of your body. Amen. And you do the best to stay on this kind of diet. And you'll be this and you'll be that. A lot of people spend a lot of money on their lives. But I'll tell you what's better than even life itself is the Lord's commitment to us. You say, why should I praise him? Because he never, ever gives up on us. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what action, no matter, he won't give up on us. And praise, he says, how do we praise God? Notice this, some of it's obvious, some of it's not so obvious in the text. Notice it says, my lips will praise you. Speak it. Say it. God, I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for not giving up on me. Say it. Use your lips. Speak it. You all have different accents. Change your accent if you want. Talk like a New Yorker to God. He understands that better. Say, God, how you doing? I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all you did for me in 2017. Thank you. He's going to answer you back and say, sure. That's God. Use your lips. Speak it. Watch this. Verse 4. This is beautiful. Watch this. So I will bless you. Barak in Hebrew, but Berek literally means I will bow down to you. Oh, I love this. I will bow down to you and I will lift up my hands in your name. Now, I understand that some people get a little bit bent out of shape with lifting of hands, and we don't do that here, but you know, it gets a little bit where it's kind of gets exaggerated a lot, you know, and people are, you know, lifting their hands a lot. You know, some churches, they lift their hands all the time. Every time they have a business meeting, they say, if anyone's a favor, they just put your hand down. I mean, it's always up. Yeah. You'll get that one day. But anyway, you know, so they're, you know, why are we in church like this all the time? You know, oh Lord, thank you. What does it really biblically mean to lift your hands up to God? You ever think about that for a moment? Do you know what it meant when they lifted their hands? By the way, they lifted up empty hands to God, expecting God to fill those hands. And when they lifted and bowed their knees, they focused on God and they focused only on Him. We don't do that. We have people focusing on us when we're lifting our hands. But when they lifted their hands, they lifted their hands to God to focus on the Lord and the Lord alone and to ask Him to bless them and they praised Him and they prayed to Him and they just focused on God. That's what lifting hands is. And He says, I will speak it. I will bow down to you and I will lift up empty hands to you, God. And I will praise you. That's a good way to start 2018. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I don't know what, I have nothing to offer. But I'm asking you to do something amazing in my life. And you fill my hands with what you think needs to be in those hands. And whatever it may be. I'm not talking financially. We're not asking God for cars and houses and all that. Whatever you need to fill these hands. Whatever problem it may be. Whatever person you want to bring into my life. Lord, I will praise you. And you know how long I will praise you? Watch this. As long as I what? Did you thank Him today? You know, usually we only thank Him when? Before a meal. This is not a, Lord, thank you for the food, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. That's a cowboy prayer, by the way. This is not just thanking Him for the food, or thanking Him for this, or thanking Him for that. This is a lifestyle of continual thanksgiving to God. When work is hard, you thank Him. When work is easy, you thank Him. When your health is doing well, you thank Him. When your health is not doing so well, you thank Him. You thank Him all the time. It's a lifestyle of thanking God and praising Him and appreciating all that He does for your life. He says, I will do this. I will bless you. I will bow down to you, Lord. I will lift my hands in your name as long as I live. Somebody once said, write this down. I appreciate the Lord for, put a blank next to it. And start filling it out. I appreciate the Lord for what? Keep filling it out. My family, my friends, whatever it may be. Keep the list going. Go back to the list. Keep thanking Him. Make it a lifestyle. You say, what does it do for my life if I thank God? Look at this in verse 5. He says, my nephesh, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. There's a satisfaction that comes to the soul when we're thanking God all the time for what He is doing in our lives. You meet a disgruntled person, it's a disgruntled person can't thank God. But somebody that's thanking God and praising God is a satisfied person. And David says, I'm satisfied. Is this? I ate the best meal ever, and I'm in a wilderness, and I can't do that. But yet I am satisfied with you, God, because I am praising you. Why? Because He never gives up on us. How? With our mouths, with our hands, on our knees. How often? All the time. And what will happen in my life? I'll be different. I'll be satisfied. Boy, it doesn't stop there. Notice the next thing here. This is great. Verse 6 and 7. He says, when I remember you on my what? On my bed. All right, now interesting enough that the word remember there, sakar, means a deliberate act where we not only remember, but we remember and it brings us to action. When you remember when the flood happened, and then it says after the flood, God remembered Noah? The word remembered means that he remembered to act for Noah. So what he's saying here in verse 6, he's saying, I am remembering in my mind you. I am thinking about you. And not only that, I am meditating. Look at the verse 6. Meditate on you in the night watches. Now what does that mean? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean yoga meditation. All right. You ever look up yoga meditation? Some of you may do. I don't know. I hope you don't do yoga meditation. But the yoga meditation is all about clearing the mind. And you breathe in. And breathe out. And when a thought comes in your mind, breathe it in. Breathe it out. Clear your mind. Don't think of anything. I'm not in church right now. I'm not listening to a sermon. That's not meditation. You know what Hebrew meditation is? Hebrew meditation is filling your mind with God. Oh, that's a difference. And notice when he does this, I love this, not in the morning, he does this on his bed at night when all the what-if questions come into our minds, when all the worry and anxiety, just think of all the things that people try to do to get to sleep. You ever think about that? They listen to music, that tries to put them to sleep, you know, they put a movie on, that puts them to sleep, you know, they listen to one of my messages, that helps, but you know what I mean, yeah, you know, that tries to put them to sleep, they're all kinds of medication to put them to sleep, one of these, boy, I'm out for 10 hours, you know, all kinds of things to put us to sleep. Why don't we try meditation? Why don't we try when we are tossing and turning on our bed? And look what it says here. During the night watches, there was three times during the night when people would watch. They usually would watch starting from sunset to 10 p.m., from 10 p.m. to 2 p.m., from 2 p.m. to sunrise. It would be different times in the night. So here's what they would do. They would get up and they would guard and they would have that time of the night. He says, I am meditating on you. I am thinking about you. I am filling my mind with you. In my bed. How great you are, God. Because notice what it says here. It says, for you have been my help. You sit there at night and fill your mind with all the things that God has done for you. I started now. This text convicted me. I shouldn't have read it, but you know, I started now at night, I have my theology book open, and I started taking an attribute of God per night and just meditate on it. Didn't mean I slept well. There are nights I still toss and turn. But yet my mind isn't thinking about the what ifs and all this, my mind is thinking about God. He says, meditate and think about all that God has done, his attributes, his actions. He's been my help. And not only has he been my help, look at this. I love this in verse 7. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. And you've been like a mother bird to the baby birds, protecting me. You've been my protection, my help in the midst of a wilderness, not even knowing if his son is going to come and kill him. He says, God, you are protecting me. You're an amazing God. Ponder God. Meditate on God. Don't try to clear your mind at night. Fill your mind. Fill your mind with God. Fill your mind with all that He is. Make it a goal this year to ponder Him more than you ever have. Think about Him more than you ever have. You know why a lot of people don't think about and ponder God? They just don't know God. And what they know about God is just parts of God. But they really don't know God. And so some at night, they think about, boy, he's going to judge me for all I did today and the judgment of God. And I'm in big trouble, boy, because I blew it. So all they're thinking about is the judgment. That's not just God. He's also a loving God, gracious God, a just God. Meditate on who God is. Fill your minds with God. David says, when I'm there on my bed, I'm thinking about you. All right, so somebody says, okay, Jeremy, I'm all excited now. Next year, 2018, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. I'm going to pursue God like I never have before. I'm going to get up, have my devotions. I'm going to do the 5-5-5. I may do it twice. You know, I'm going to pursue Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to lift up my hand. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to ponder God. And everything's going to be great in 2018. Wrong. In fact, Absalom was still coming after David. Nothing changed of his circumstances, but everything changed of his heart. That's why he says in the next verse, I love this, verse 8, my soul clings to you. The same word used of a husband and wife, man shall do what to his father, mother and father? Leave. And what should he do to his wife? Cleave, cling is the word. It speaks of glue. It means when you say I do, you're stuck. I like that. And whether they're bald and got bifocals, you're stuck. Whether they're 10 pounds or 1,000 pounds, no matter what happens to them, they're yours. 67 years, amen? You're stuck. All right, I knew she loved that one. You cling to God. How is it to be stuck to God? Interesting, in the Hebrew, when he's talking about God, when we're talking about clinging to God, it means that nothing else we're going to give our devotion but God. He is our God. We're going to cling to Him, it's saying here. And everything else that brings momentary satisfaction just doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is God. I'm going to cling to you, and you're going to uphold me, verse 8. I'm going to persevere with you. I'm not just going to wake up in the morning and say a few prayers and go on my day. I'm going to cling to you throughout the day. As someone once put it, which I love, it's not like we go in the morning and get our batteries recharged. That's not enough. They'll die. We need to be plugged in all day. Plugged in to God. I cling to you. And when he clings to God, look at his confidence that he has here in verse 9. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. I'm not worried about them. They want to come after me, they will die. Verse 10, they will be delivered over the power of the sword. They will be prey for the foxes. But you know what I'm going to do? Verse 11, but the king is going to rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies, God will stop them one day. They may keep speaking them, they may keep saying those things, but you know what? I'm going to rejoice in God. You know what I love about this? Is David made a choice there. He made a choice not to let his circumstances dictate his attitude. Wow, that's amazing for 2018. Lord, I'm going to go into 2018, no matter what happens, I'm not going to let that dictate how I react and my attitude. I'm going to rejoice in you. You say, Jeremy, that could never happen. Oh, it couldn't? Can I just give you a quick preview of next week? You say, next week, what are we going to be doing? Next week, we're going to start the book of Philippians. Do you know how the book of Philippians even, do you know how that church even started? Do you know what Paul went through to start that church? I feel like my father here. Hey, Jeremy, ever read the Bible? My dad used to tell me, hey, Jeremy, ever read that? You ever read how Philippians started? You ever read that he left a vibrant ministry and all of a sudden he had a ladies' Bible study? You ever read that? You ever read that he helped this demon-possessed girl and then all of a sudden chaos broke out and he got thrown in jail? You ever read that? But you ever read what he was doing in jail? He was praising God. And people got saved. Isn't that something? Oh, I can't wait for Philippians. I'm all excited. This can be done. See, Paul's a living example. No matter what happens to our lives, we can still praise God. We can still pursue Him. And not only that, He is a living example. When we do that, others see us and others want our God. That's a great thing. Why not make 2018 the best year of our lives, saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to pursue You. I'm going to, like, my soul is just longing for You. I'm going to praise You throughout the day because You never give up on me. Lord, at night when I'm tossing and turning, I'm going to ponder You. I'm going to think about You. I am going to meditate on You. I'm going to fill my mind with You. And then throughout every day, I'm just going to stick with You, God. I'm going to persevere with You. No matter what comes into my life, I'm going to choose to rejoice in You. And you watch your friends and family look at us and say, you got something I don't have. I want that God. I'll never forget a missionary in Argentina who was there for 40 years. Very small church. And one day his neighbors knocked on the door. And when he opened the door, they were in tears. And they said, we've been watching your children. We've been watching you. And you guys have something we don't have. And we want your God. And right there, the neighbors bowed down and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, they're watching us. They're watching us pursue things of this world that has temporary satisfaction and nothing of eternal significance. They're watching us not praise Him. They're watching us complain when it's cold, when it's hot, when our body hurts. They're watching our minds be filled with things and we're just thinking about all these worries and everything and we're on 50,000 medications because we can't sleep. They're watching. And they're watching how very little we persevere with Him throughout the day. No, let's change that. Let 2018 be different. May this be the best year of our lives spiritually. This is an exciting time. May God do something of our lives that He's never done before. And if He should choose to come or take us home, let it be. But the best life ever lived is a life lived for Him. So let's make these commitments. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, we come to You and we realize that our longing and passion for You is nowhere near where it needs to be. We fill our hearts with the things of this world. And while they bring us joy for a moment, it doesn't last. So God, help us. Help us to admit that we can't. And help us to come before You every day of our lives to read Your Word, to pray, to meditate on You, and to be different. We're not asking You to change our circumstances, God. We're asking You to change our hearts. Help us to praise You. To tell You how much we appreciate all that You do for us. For sticking with us. Help us to ponder You, God. I pray even tonight when those what-if questions and the anxiety and the worry of this coming year fills our hearts that, Father, that we would stop. We would cast our anxiety upon You. And that we would fill our minds with who You are. And Lord, I pray that we would be reminded that we don't just need You in the morning and a few times throughout the day, we need You every moment. every second of every hour of every day. We need you. And like a mother bird that protects, Father, you are the one who protects. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us to choose joy in the midst of all that goes on, so that others could see what a great God we have. May 2018, Lord, be the best year of our lives spiritually, we pray. May we be different because of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.